You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
New England Patriots are among those teams that still have not lost in 2019. So that group will get smaller and smaller as we head through these next few weeks. And as we talked about, the first week of the season is just about getting your feet wet again. And then this first month is about finding that consistency. And some of the schedules are helpful. Some of the schedules allow you a soft reentry and a soft place to land in this first month. And some of the schedules for some of the teams absolutely do not. The Browns are about to get tested in a major way moving forward. So good for them that they just picked up their first win, a road win at that, on Monday Night Football at MetLife Stadium. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, really cool exchange between Tom Brady and Joe Namath on the Westwood One pregame show before Monday Night Football. I always make a point to listen because, and it's Larry Fitzgerald too, who we heard from last hour, because they have a good relationship with Jim Gray. In fact, Tom Brady calls him Scratchy. And so you get stuff from Tom and from Larry with Jim Gray that you don't get in a regular football setting, pre and post and locker room stuff. You just don't get the same type of candor from these guys. And so when they talk to Jim Gray, I very often get nuggets of information or more insight than I would get at any other point. And so on Monday, instead of talking about the win over the Dolphins or anything to do with Antonio Brown, it was an exchange between Tom Brady and Joe Namath, and Jim Gray is really masterful at just standing back and allowing the interview, the guest, to be the star. And it was really neat to hear Tom Brady and Joe Namath together. And so I wanted to make sure that we brought it back for you, so I had Chris find it on the Westwood One website. So we'll hear that coming up. I think you'll appreciate it because it's the 50th anniversary of Monday Night Football, and Joe Namath played in the very first Monday Night Football game. So his memories they're very sharp and also really fascinating. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can vote for Monday MVP on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, of course, also on our Facebook page, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. We'll reveal the choices for Touchdown Tuesday through this next part of the show. And in 15 minutes, I promised the question for Twizzler Tuesday. So there's a lot to do. You can use our social media for all of it. You can also give us a call, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It is not often that we hear of loyalty in sports. Not you, fans. I'm not referring to you. Fans, we are loyal to a fault. Now, we can certainly turn on players and boo them, and many of us reserve that right. We think it is our right. But we're pretty much, if we're real fans, we're so loyal that no matter how bad it gets, we don't leave. Right? Like, you have to kick us. And even then, we might still stick around. We're gluttons for punishment. And let's be honest, most sports fans, the majority of the time, are not celebrating success. I mean, it's just the stats, right? Even if you're a Patriots fan, there were some lean years before they got Tom Brady and Bill Belichick together, and there will be years after where it's not the same. It's very often cyclical. So even if you're a fan of the Warriors or the Patriots, or let's say the Chicago Cubs now, who, you know, are closing in on the playoffs for the another season, but they've had five straight winning seasons. There are certainly times for every fan where you can look back and you know that there was so much misery. But I honestly think as fans, we love to commiserate. Misery loves company, you know. So you take the good, you take the bad. You take them both, and there you have the facts of being a sports fan. Well, the loyalty aspect is something that we don't see often from teams or organizations to athletes, or the other way around. And I know we as sports fans lament that. We're loyal, why can't they be? or sometimes irrationally and illogically, we demand it of our players or our teams, but it's not reality. Big business. That's what it's all about in pro sports. The reality is, guys are going to ask for trades when they're unhappy. That's a brand new epidemic that's taking place in sports over the last 5 years, and it's getting more and more traction. Melvin Gordon's asked for a trade, and he's sitting on his rear end. Jalen Ramsey wants out of Jacksonville. Taco Charlton wants out of Dallas. I mean, guys get unhappy, and they try to force their way out. And the high-profile cases of, say, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, now you're going to have more and more players who are going to attempt to get their way by asking for a trade. There's also the free agency aspect. And then in the case of the franchises themselves, especially in the NFL, they can cut you for no reason whatsoever, simply to create a roster spot if that's what they want to do. They can trade you. And we hear about it all the time. Athletes are blindsided by trades. I mean, this is why I am a fan of the San Jose Sharks, because my favorite player, Joe Thornton, was blindsided as a captain of the Boston Bruins. He was blindsided by a trade one season. He was sitting at dinner and got a text message or a phone call, I remember which one it was, to find out he'd been traded all the way across the country to a different organization. And so there isn't much loyalty in sports. When we see it, it always gives me the warm fuzzies. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We saw it on Monday with the Indianapolis Colts. I love these occasions when teams stand by players who are struggling. And it's a short leash, let's be honest. Adam Vinatieri is 46 years old. It's crazy to think that he has been with the Colts now for 14 years. Oh my gosh. It seems like he just got there from New England. He's 46. He's in his 24th season. And he has missed 5 kicks already in 2019. 7 if you go back to the Colts playoff game. Their last game last year. And so he's struggled a bit. He also dealt with a knee injury that kept him on the shelf for a time in training camp. And it certainly sounded like he was about to absolve the Colts of any responsibility and walk away. I'm glad that he's not going out this way. I'm really hoping that he mentally can get locked in again, because I think at this point it's more mental. If there was some kind of an injury, we would know about it. The Colts would take steps to address it. Right now, for him to miss a 29-yarder, it's mental. It's like a professional golfer standing over a 5-foot putt and biffing it. But instead of the Colts saying, you know what, we're ready to move on. This guy's 46. We've had some good years, but we need something more reliable. Frank Reich, the head coach, did the exact opposite. So he and Vinatieri met on Monday, and while Coach Reich declined to share the specifics of that conversation, in a conference call, he drew the line.
Just want to make this clear. Adam's our kicker. Like I said yesterday, we have zero concern. He's not only our kicker, he's an instrumental leader on our team. You know, when we talk about toughness and what we're all about as a team and a program, there's probably no one who epitomizes that more than Adam. So just want to make sure that's clear. And then lastly, just a great team win. Division road opponent, tough opponent, well-coached opponent. We'll have another tough test on our hands this week. But looking forward to our home opener and have the Indy fans there in full force.
I love that. I love it. I already was a huge fan of Frank Reich, but I love this even more. The fact that he just threw it out there and said, you don't even need to ask me about it. Adam's our kicker, period. Now, there were some other quotes that I read that I absolutely love, where he talks about, is he struggling? Yeah. Is it catastrophic? No. Everybody goes through stretches where they struggle. And Frank would know. He was an NFL quarterback for a long time. And so they praise his leadership. They make it very clear they're sticking with him. And who knows if Frank Reich had to talk him out of retirement. But this is my favorite story coming out of the NFL weekend. Because again, loyalty is so rare in sports that it almost seems odd. But instead of looking for a quick fix, the Colts are praising what Adam Vinatieri brings to their locker room and expecting that he will get back on track. They're not hedging their bets. They're not saying, okay, we're going to give him a couple more weeks. No. Publicly endorsing Vinatieri for everything he brings to the table. Now, let's keep in mind what they just lost. They just lost their locker room leader in Andrew Luck. And likely don't want to lose another veteran voice. Another guy who has essentially seen and done everything there is to see and do in the NFL. He stood on every stage. Vinatieri is the NFL's all-time scoring leader. And he doesn't have to feel bad about walking away whenever he does. The fact that he's still in the NFL at 46 years old is phenomenal. And yet, the Colts don't want him to go. Seriously, how great is that? We just don't get this kind of stuff in sports very often. I love it. And I think he's earned the right to walk out on his own terms. But I also know the character of Vinatieri, he will not stick around too long. Meaning, if he truly believes that he cannot carry his weight anymore, he's not just going to stand there on the sidelines to earn a paycheck. No. This guy literally would hang it up if he felt like he was the weak link. And that kind of character, that is also impressive, which is why the Colts are so loyal to him. Amazing. All right, coming up next, really neat exchange between Tom Brady and Joe Namath about the first Monday Night Football game and our Twizzler Tuesday question inspired by TV and by the Cleveland Browns. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Baker Mayfield is in the shotgun with Chubb at his side with the first and 10. Fakes the handoff. He throws to Odell. Beckham Jr. catches in the 25-foot race to the 30. On the hash mark, the 40. Foot race to the 50. From the 40. On the numbers, the 30. Break to tackle, 20. Down the near sideline, 10. 5. Touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr., a quick hitter. 89-yard touchdown pass. Baker Mayfield to Odell Beckham Jr. in his return to MetLife Stadium.
No doubt. We had, Coach Campy had this play put in. Baker had this play put in. And I knew that it was going to be a big play, and I seen the safety, May. As I caught it, he knew I was taking an angle to the right. I seen him duck his head down, and I just made a cut, and I knew that I was going to be out of there if my hamstrings could hold up. For some reason tonight, it was just, they were tight. I didn't know if I was going to make it all the way to the end zone, but God willing, I did.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
OBJ sucking it up, playing through the soreness. Also had a one-handed catch in the first quarter that was pretty dynamic and mindful of the years that he spent on the field there at MetLife Stadium. The call of his career-long touchdown grab. It was actually a touchdown run after the catch with Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One radio network. And then you hear his post-game comments. 6 catches, 161 yards, and the touchdown. And if he had played on Sunday, he likely would have been part of our Monday MVP poll. So if you would like to I have the hiccups. I don't know how that happens. It only happens when I'm at work, too. I never have hiccups at any other point. I don't know what happens. Anyway, highly entertaining, I'm sure. So we don't have Odell Beckham Jr. in our Monday MVP poll on social media, but you are welcome to write in his name. It's After Hours on Facebook or on our show Twitter. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We have more injury news to pass along for sure. And I would love to get your reaction to the various teams who are now dealing with season-ending injuries, as well as the couple of teams who are dealing with guys who've either been traded already or asking to be traded. And then I don't know if you guys read the latest column in Sports Illustrated about Antonio Brown. It was not my favorite reading. I just tell you that much. I didn't enjoy it, but I did it because I wanted to be sure I knew what was out there. Robert Klemko wrote it for Sports Illustrated, and it details some of the various civil suits or potential suits in Antonio Brown's personal life. Not all sexual assault allegations, more just in his business dealings and the people that he has hired and allegedly not paid. And there's a pretty long string of some bizarre behavior that's recorded and reported in this column. And it comes from either the people themselves or people who work for Antonio Brown, or in some cases, police reports that were filed. So you can check it out. I don't know if any of this impacts his tenure with the Patriots. What I do know is that Brittany Taylor is scheduled to meet with the NFL on Tuesday. Originally, it was supposed to be Monday, and I got it pushed back to Tuesday. And so the one who has actually filed a civil suit accusing him of sexual assault and rape, she will meet with NFL officials coming up on Tuesday. The indication is that the NFL will expedite its investigation, which makes sense considering that he's currently playing for the Patriots. And it doesn't sound like the Patriots will be making any moves. I don't think that it's right or fair that the league would put him on the commissioner's exempt list before completing an investigation. That to me sets a dangerous precedent. But the Patriots, according to reports, likely wouldn't have signed him. In fact, the specific report is that Bob Kraft wouldn't have okayed him coming to New England if he had known that the civil suit was about to be filed, or that these sexual assault charges, sexual assault allegations in this civil lawsuit were forthcoming. But of course, Antonio Brown knew and didn't tell either the Raiders or the Patriots. To me, I would just be ticked off about that part. The fact that he kept it to himself when he knew it was coming. To me, that's really deceitful. Sounds like he's got a lot that he has to deal with in his personal life, too. And so you can read the column if you want, but there's a lot of news out there in the wake of week two in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So I thought it would be fun to throw out a question that connects pop culture with sports, which a lot of times happens. In fact, the Cleveland Browns themselves have done it with a mock Brown skit set to the music and the theme that used to open the Friends TV show. So producer Chris is going to tweet it from our show account, After Hours CBS. It's really clever, and it does feature Odell Beckham Jr. I'm trying to think who else was in it. Maybe Jarvis Landry was in it. I don't remember the exact names. But it's Denzel Ward was in it for sure. Anyway, it's really cute. And if you are a big fan of the TV show Friends, which it's one of my all-time favorite TV shows, then you will love it. It's very clever, as I say. And so in light of that, I was thinking it would be fun to use TV lines to describe where your football team is now. And you can talk about your college team if you like, or your NFL team. So 2 or 3 weeks in, we're still in the first month of both college and the NFL seasons. What TV line would you use to describe, or TV show name, would you use to describe where your team is now and how you feel about your team? So it's our Twizzler Tuesday question. If you use the hashtag Twizzler Tuesday, it's easier for us to find it on Twitter. And then also we'll put it up on our Facebook page. Now, the Jets are not the team that I root for, but I thought of the Muppets. It's not easy being green, even though they're trying to disguise it and wearing black uniforms now, which I think are kind of snazzy. I've kind of given up on the traditions of uniforms these days because all of them have changed so much. So what TV line or show would you use to describe your football team right now? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can use my Twitter and then also on our Facebook page. And again, it's really cool. It's about 50 seconds long. The Cleveland Browns had some extra time at practice and put together this montage, kind of mocking the Friends. Well, not mocking it. I think this is more about a, hey, we love this. This is really cool. We want to do this too. Couple of linemen in there. It's neat. So check it out. I'm going to retweet it right now. And how would you describe your team with a TV line or a TV show name?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I don't know that I could ever hear this song ever again without thinking about the TV show Friends. It is permanently imprinted in my brain. There are a lot of things that I don't remember, even some of my favorite shows from the past. I mean, I was just talking about the line, Dynamite! And it's actually from Good Times. You guys are totally wrong. It's from Good Times. And I couldn't remember that. I mean, there are just so many shows that you watch over the years that you don't always remember. And I'm not the person who can conjure up, other than Star Wars, the original three Star Wars lines, I can probably quote. I can quote most of that. And the movie Karate Kid, the original with Ralph Macchio, because I've seen it 30 times. But for the most part, I get my pop culture references mixed up, which is perfectly fine. It's not my department. But the Friends theme show, or the Friends theme, I should say, I'll Be There For You. I mean, I couldn't hear it without thinking about the TV show that I have all 10 seasons on DVD. But now the Browns have turned it into a bit of a theme for them. So using the same music from the Rembrandts, the Cleveland Browns put together this montage with Odell Beckham Jr. and Denzel Ward and a few others that kind of mimics the open to the Friends TV show. So for the Cleveland Browns, you could easily say their theme is I'll Be There For You, or just hashtag Friends. So check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. And our Twizzler Tuesday question is this: using a line, or you can use a show if you want, but something from the small screen, how would you describe your favorite NFL or college football team as they've started the season? So for the Browns, it's Friends. It's I'll Be There For You. For the Jets, I think it's Not Easy Being Green. I've seen a bunch of your posts on Facebook already, though I did have to correct one of our listeners. And for those of you who are familiar with Seinfeld, you will feel me here. Jesse says on Facebook, regarding my Buffalo Bills, they are real and they are fantastic. Well, the line is actually they are real and they are spectacular. But I catch your drift. So that comes from Seinfeld and Elaine. So that's with the Buffalo Bills. What is the TV show or line from a TV program that you would use to describe where your team is right now? Christopher says on Facebook, the Philadelphia Eagles, ER. I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at the fact that they have injuries, just that's very clever. John says on Facebook, the Dallas Cowboys, we're moving on up. That's from the Jeffersons and their theme song. I do remember that show as well. Gosh, I'm trying to think. I guess I would have watched these with my grandparents, or, you know, in the afternoon when you came home from school, some of these shows would be on TV. Except that some of these shows, I don't think my mom would let me watch when I was a kid. Let's see. Jason on Facebook, Clemson Tigers, King of the Hill. Rob says the Denver Broncos, Sesame Street. these are going to be good. I know these are going to be good. So either on our Facebook page or on Twitter, and you're already weighing in there as well. This is probably my favorite, and producer Chris will retweet some of these from our show account. Russell says on Twitter, Steelers, pivot! Pivot! Maybe one of my favorite scenes from Friends in all 10 seasons, where Joey and Ross are trying to move a couch up the stairs in their apartment building. And Ross, who of course is always the guy who's to be in control of everything, is shouting out, pivot! Every time they have to turn a corner and turn the couch. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Russell, that just absolutely made me laugh out loud. As quirky as my voice sounds right now. Brian actually just is using the same TV theme that we just got from a listener on Facebook about the Cowboys. He says the San Francisco 49ers, moving on up. I do like that particular theme song. So find me on Twitter or on Facebook and let me know, how would you describe the start to your favorite team season, whether college or the NFL, with a TV show or line from a TV show? Our toll-free number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. 855-212-4227. Jeremiah is in Atlanta. Jeremiah, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
Great, thank you.
Hey, I want to say from the A-team, Hannibal, I love it when a plan comes together.
And who are, what team are you talking about? The Falcons?
The Falcons, of course.
Okay. So how do you feel after seeing them play on Sunday night?
I was a little bit, I feel a little bit better about the run defense, but I'm not sure, because it's not like we were playing, like Todd Gurley or Saquon Barkley or Zeke. It was a terrible mess out there, but I'm just glad we came away with the win.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to me is that the Falcons gutted it out. I mean, they had to. Whether they should have been in that position is a completely different debate, but they were in that position because of turnovers and because of some wasted opportunities. And so for them to be able to come up with the win and have to rally the way that they did, I was impressed. I felt like that showed some character for them.
Yeah.
You don't sound too convinced, but it's early. It's still really early in the season. And here's the other piece of that. The NFC South is wide open. Wide open.
Yeah, I know. Drew Brees is expected back probably about the time we're coming off the bye week and got to play now.
Yeah, so if he comes back, it's kind of interesting. If he comes back by week 10, then the Saints end up playing 5 of their 6 divisional games with Drew Brees as quarterback. So it just the quirk of the schedule is that he would be back for the portion that would determine the NFC South. It for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Amy. Thank you.
No, thank you. Good to hear from you in Atlanta, Jeremiah. 855-212-4227. Yeah, that's if Drew Brees would come back by week 10. I thought that was really interesting. And I know that the NFL in recent years has made a more concerted effort to backload the schedules with divisional battles, because like what they want is to have those divisional titles on the line in the final month of the regular season. So they actually have rearranged the schedules. I'm trying to think how long it's been. Probably right before I left my previous network. So I would say probably the last 6 to 7, 8 years, they definitely have been trying to change the schedule so that the back half is backloaded with divisional games. So in the case of the Saints, let's just say Drew Brees comes back by November 10th. So we're talking about 7 weeks. Well, 8 if you consider their bye. They play the Falcons on November 10th. They're on the road at Tampa Bay the following week. Then they're against the Panthers. So right there, if he comes back November 10th, they have 3 divisional games in a row. Then they would take on the Niners, then the Colts, on the road at the Titans and would finish against the Panthers in late December. And so you're talking about a good chunk of games there that would determine or could end up determining the NFC South Division title. But that's all assuming that Breeze heals quickly. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. My gosh, I love some of your suggestions, but you have to tell me which team you're talking about, because if you don't, I can't read your tweet or your Facebook post. Okay, so this is really cool. We were talking about Monday Night Football, of course, with the Browns and the Jets. And 50 years ago, Joe Namath played in the very first Monday Night Football game. Now, Tom Brady is always the guest with Jim Gray on the Westwood One pregame show leading into Monday Night Football. But this time, Joe Namath crashed the party. And they started out with this really cool exchange talking about the very first Monday Night Football game going back to 1970 when it wasn't even a thing.
Well, it was brand new. Some of us veterans, at any rate, had played in a championship game or a bowl game, you know, but the championship game in Pro Bowl was the only game at that time. There were plenty of bowl games. And we were excited about it. We were excited about it knowing that our peers might be watching, knowing that the rest of the teams would probably be watching. Being the only game in the country, it was exciting for us. Yeah, the adrenaline was pumping, and it was a thrill to be in Cleveland. That's quite a place to play a football game to begin with.
And, Tom, you just watched that first Monday night game on the NFL Network last week. What did you make of what you saw?
I did. First of all, I want to say it's an honor to have Joe on the show with us. And my dad was a huge Joe Namath fan and would tell me stories about how great of a player he was, you know, when he was growing up. They were about the same age. So thanks so much for coming on, Joe. And I did actually, it was very cool last week. Before I actually knew Joe was coming on the show tonight, I was watching the NFL Network last week, and I saw this Monday night game, and they said this is the first Monday night game, and it showed the Browns versus the Jets, and Joe was the quarterback. And you know what surprised me the most? Man, you could spin that ball, Joe. You had a hell of an arm, and that was really cool to see. So I know they didn't win the game, but it was great for me to, you know, see what that game was all about. It was obviously very different. I think you can tell, at least from a spectator now, the difference in the way the game has grown, the business of football, and it felt very much, you know, the benches and the crowds, and, you know, it was all a little bit different. Now it's more of a show, but that was really, you know, great football back then, and Joe, you were a hell of a player.
Well, Tom, you know, I had a supporting cast, some great coaches, and about that Cleveland game, you know, when you don't win, God almighty, it hurts. A freshman meeting with Coach Paul Bear Bryant at Alabama, when I went there, he told us as freshmen we would remember the ones that we lost, the bad ones, quicker than we'd remember the wins. And to this day, being reminded of throwing that interception to the linebacker Andrews, Tom, I had Emerson Boozer running across the middle open, and I threw it behind him. I swear to this day we would have won the game if I'd have thrown that pass out front.
How amazing is that? You don't get those kinds of conversations very often between two quarterbacks of their caliber. And so Joe Namath is reflecting on a 1970 football game, and his memory couldn't be any sharper. He is remembering exactly who was going across the middle and that he threw the pass behind him. And you can hear Tom Brady's reaction, like, oh, gosh, I've been there. I mean, in fact, not that it was the make or break moment in the game against the Dolphins, but he threw a pass behind Antonio Brown on Sunday. And they're trying to get their stuff together. And it's really interesting to see, or to hear, excuse me, his reaction to Joe Namath's story. But also just the fact that he had sat and watched the Browns and the Jets from 1970 when it was on the NFL Network, even before he knew Joe Namath was going to be on Westwood One. And you hear Jim Gray's voice in the middle there too. I just thought that was really cool. That very organic exchange between two quarterbacks who played in completely different eras, I mean, for Joe and the Jets, Monday Night Football was an aberration. It was strange to play on any other night besides Sunday once you were in the pros. I just love that walk down memory lane. And talking about Bear Bryant when he was a freshman, what Coach Bryant told him, you're going to remember the losses a lot more vividly than you'll ever remember the wins, and a lot more quickly. So true. Anybody who ever played sports who is super competitive, that's so true. I was always haunted by the losses, the missed shots. I played college basketball than I ever celebrated the wins. And you hear that from extremely competitive athletes. And Tom Brady certainly said that before. Talked about how painful it was to lose those two Super Bowls to the Giants. And the Eagles as well, obviously. We heard that from Scott Pioli when he joined us on the show. So I thought that exchange was awesome. Now, a little bit later on, I'll let you hear from Tom Brady and Joe Namath about playing for coaches of the caliber of Bryant and Bill Belichick. And also really funny to hear what Joe Namath says about social media, because obviously it wasn't a big, well, it wasn't around when he was in his heyday with the Jets, could you imagine? But also even now, he's had his run-ins with social media, and how does he navigate it? Don't forget to send us your TV lines or TV shows. You're blowing up Twitter now, A-Law Radio. How would you describe the start for your football team? Facebook, too. Thanks for joining us after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.